learning will be Nishmas Avram Moshe Ben Chaim Shmuel, whose yahrzeit is tonight, time tomorrow. So we're going to discuss one more point about Sivan. The handouts are there. Yeah, let's go around. And tonight I want to focus on the mazel of Sivan. Now the mazel of Sivan is Teumim, which means twins. I think the Greek term is Gemini. Gemini? How do you say it? Gemini?
Gemini.
Gemini. Which I guess means twins also, I guess. But Teumim is twins. And I don't understand what twins have to do with Sivan. It's a very strange connection why it's twins. So, number one, the twins come in pairs, obviously. You know, twins are two. And well, ideas of two come up around Torah a lot. The Matan Torah was given on two luchos, the two different luchos. We know that we have two parts of Torah, Torah Shebichsav, Torah Shebal Peh, oral and written Torah. We know on Shavuos, which is the Chag of Matan Torah, we have a mitzvah of Shtei Halecha, and we offer two loaves of bread in the Beis HaMikdash, also twos. And there's a concept of two that surrounds Matan Torah. So certainly on the most simple level, Teumim indicates two, and we're talking here about things that come in pairs. Now, how would that relate to Sivan and Matan Torah? And one simple idea is that Matan Torah was a time where the spiritual and the physical were fused together. It was a time where at Har Sinai, Hashem came down and gave the Torah, which means that the spiritual realm and the physical realm kind of matched up. They clicked together. The word Teumim, twins, like in Hebrew we use the word mat'im, to be two things that fit together. They're mat'im. They fit. They connect. So on Shavuos and Sivan and Matan Torah, there's the opportunity for the physical realm, the spiritual realm, to click together and connect. You have two worlds coming together, and that's one concept of twins. Torah Shebichsav is something which comes straight from HaKadosh. It's all from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Torah Shebichsav is Hashem's word finished. We don't have any input in that. Torah Shebal Peh also involves the human being. So you have this fusion again of Hashem and the person, the Shemayim and the Aretz, the spiritual and the physical, and those are all different elements of couples, of two, that come together in the month of Sivan. And the Shtei HaLechem on Shavuos certainly represents this. Why are there two loaves of bread on Shavuos? Because it also represents the two luchos, and the two worlds, and the two types of Torah. All these things come together, and that's all on Shavuos. Just yelled at me one second. Oh, sorry, Mr. Right, thank you. So that's my idea of two. There's another simple understanding of this idea, which is quoted in the Medrash, in the Psikta, the Rav Kahana, one of the Midrashim, and it says that Hashem gave the Torah in the third month of Sivan, which is the month of Teumim, the month of twins, to show that even Esav, who is the other twin of Yaakov, if he does tshuva, he can also be misguided and join Klal Yisrael. It's interesting, you know, there's kinds of twins. You have like the good twin, like the evil twin, let's say. And Torah is given to the good twin. But Hashem says, the month is a month of twins, which means I'm open for others. And there's a message in that which shows that, you know, the doors are open. The doors of tshuva are always open. Hashem's welcomes in all of those who want to join Klal Yisrael, even if you're the other twin, even if you're the one, Esav, who was rejected by Hashem and sent off and wasn't allowed to have the Torah, even he is welcome to join Klal Yisrael if he does tshuva and decides to be misguided. So that's a message of Torah overall, that Torah opens the doors for all around. Those are all simple, simple ideas of two, the couples that are involved in Torah, Torah Shabbat, Torah Shabbat, spiritual, physical, it's the idea that the other twin can join in. But there's a much deeper point over here. And I think, you know, this is for our final class for now, we're going to get involved in a very deep point. So just bear with me and we'll learn something that's very deep. We've spoken at length about the idea of the Adam, the human being. And that's really been the theme, I think, the past, you know, month or so, between ER and Sivan, developing the human being, comparing ourselves to, or contrasting ourselves to animals, understanding our contrast to Malachim, we discussed last week, understanding the role of the human being. But there's another element of human being which is even higher. And that element is the fact we're created with Tzelem Elokim. We're in Hashem's image. The word Adam, so we mentioned before that Adam, one meaning of it is Adama, is ground. And that kind of connotes the potential a human being has to grow, like the ground is something that's all potential. You put a seed in it, it can grow and sprout. But also Adam, many Sfarim explain, means Adameh. I can emulate, I will compare to, I make myself similar to. And there's a similarity between the human being and Kevyachol Hashem. Now we're created in Hashem's image, the Tzelem Elokim, which means that there's some, yeah, it's hard to discuss these terms, we'll have to describe it more. There's some semblance between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. No, that phrase is something we can't even really say, because Hashem is infinite and beyond us and spiritual, and we're human beings. But the Torah says so. The Torah says that we were created with Tzelem Elokim, with Tzelem Elodimuso, and the Dimus of Hashem, and the Tzelem of Hashem. And in some way, we're supposed to resemble God. In some way. As it were, we're like God's twin. Right? We're with Tzelem Elokim. We're God's form. We're the form of God. There's an idea of twins, which Chazal will talk about in Midrashim, which we'll see later. So certainly in the concept of the neshama, a free choice, our ability to impact and accomplish, we have some form of connection to Hashem. One of the ideas of free choice is that if we're supposed to be in Hashem's image, we have to be able to make choices and choose and accomplish, because Hashem could do that. Hashem is totally independent, and we have to earn our keep so we can be independent. We have to be able to have merit and schus in order to gain our schar olam haba so we can be independent. We're not relying upon Hashem totally. We've earned our own keep in some way. So there's many ways spiritually that we are in Hashem's image. But it's even true in our physical makeup. Even in our physical makeup, we're considered Tzelem Elokim. Which is hard for us to understand, because we never, chas v'shalom, would say Hashem would have a hand, Hashem would have eyes. Hashem's not physical at all. And these terms are terms that don't seem to be Jewish terms at all. They say Hashem has any physical elements. But I want to share with you, it's really the opposite. And you'll see what I mean in a minute. We often use human terms to describe Hashem. The Torah says, Enei Hashem Elokecha, Hashem's eyes are upon you. The Yad Chazaka, Hashem has an outstretched, a mighty arm. The Zoron Tzuyah, the outstretched arm. The Yad Chazaka, the strong hand. Hashem hears. Uznei Hashem. And there's many, many terms used, even the heart. It says Hashem speaks El Libo. It says Hashem speaks to his heart. And Chas V'Shalom, we don't ever want to put any physical terminology describing Hashem. The Torah does it all the time. And the usual understanding is that's a mashal for us. We can't really understand Hashem. So we know what eyes are, and we know we see through our eyes. So when we talk about Hashem seeing, we talk about eyes. Right? We know that an arm is strong and acts and does mighty acts. So when Hashem does mighty, we say it was Hashem's arm. And the typical understanding is that we need some sort of mashal for us to understand, so that we can discuss Hashem at all. That's usually how we understand it. But really, it's the exact opposite. And this is the point that most of us miss, but when you hear it, it's an incredible point. The really, Hashem has the actual eye. Hashem is the actual arm. And our eyes and our arms are merely supposed to be a mashal to understand Hashem. So let's just understand that. We don't want to misunderstand that concept. Hashem is one. And there's nothing about Hashem. Hashem you can't compartmentalize and break up into pieces. Hashem is one. But Hashem has what we call anhagas. Hashem has ways in which He interacts with the world. So there's some, and Hashem has some sort of function of seeing the world, let's say. So Hashem's sight and our sight have no connection to one another. Hashem's sight, Hashem sees all, Hashem doesn't need eyes. But that idea of Hashem seeing, we refer to as Einei Hashem, the eyes of Hashem. So the true eyes are actually the Einei Hashem. There's an hanhaga. There's some way Hashem acts called Einei Hashem. That's the real eye. But we as humans can't understand that. So Hashem gave us eyes so we can at least have some access to understanding that part of Hashem. There's a yad. Hashem has an arm. Kevyachol. Hashem has some sort of hanhaga we call yad chazaka, the strong arm. And that's how Hashem's hanhaga uses with the world in order to do miracles, force people to make decisions in some ways, to get His will performed in our world. Now, Hashem has this thing called a yad, and we couldn't understand it at all. So Hashem said, okay, I'll give human beings arms so they can understand a little bit about what that means. So again, there's not really any resemblance between the two. Ultimately, Hashem's eyes and Hashem's arms are spiritual and far beyond us, and we can't ever, ever think of any physical item to describe Hashem. But yet, how can we understand Hashem at all? Hashem made us B'Tselem Elokim so that we have some access to understand Hashem. And the truth is, we say, B'Sari Echse Eloka, from my flesh I can see Hashem. And one meaning of that is that if we understand the human body, we get insight into HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because our body is made, as it says, B'Tselem Elokim. We are made in the image of Hashem, and therefore, the more we understand ourselves, we can understand a little bit about how Hashem involves Himself with the world. Hashem, it says, he smells the Reach Nichoch of Karbanos, the pleasant smell of Karbanos. So we have something called a nose, and we can take in smells, so we understand a little bit how pleasing a smell is. So Hashem has no nose, and Hashem doesn't smell physical things, but there's some hanhaga called Hashem taking in the aroma of Karbanos, and therefore, we're given a nose to understand that. Now, where is this idea coming from? So I want to read with you a couple sources here. Number one, I don't think I put them in order so much, but number one, on the front of mine at least, is a pasuk in Yechezkel. Pasuk in Yechezkel. And this is Yechezkel Perek Aleph, which is the Maaseh Merkava. This is something that, this is the source of all Kabbalah, this is the deepest vision a Navi ever had. And again, most of it is far beyond our understanding. But just to translate words in a pasuk, if you look at the very front page, it's Yechezkel, it's Perek Aleph, and it's Pasuk Chav Vav. So Yechezkel is describing, he was up in Shemayim with the Malachim, approaching Hashem's throne, as it were. And he describes an incredible thing. In Pasuk Chav Vav, Mimal Rakia Asher Rosham, so there was some sort of like sky above their heads. Again, the entire Perek is all these spiritual terms that we really don't have any relevance to. But it says, Kemare Evan Sapir Zemus Kise. Above that was some vision of a sapphire stone that appeared like a throne. And we know from, in Sefer Shmos, it says that Hashem is tachas raglav kamasa livnas ha-sapir. It says under Hashem's feet is sapphire stone. So there's a throne of sapphire. Vademus ha-kise, and upon the image of this throne, demus, there is an image, kemare adam, alav memal, that appears like a human being above. So we're picturing, you know, some vision of Hashem's throne, and the vision that he has on top of it is the image of a human being. So if you look at the next page, this one's a little upside down, but the rest of them are okay. Metzudas David. Metzudas David, I put an arrow there, in Parsel Chavav, he explains, I saw something shining like a sapphire stone, and it looked like a throne. And above that I saw an image like a human being. And this was actually some sort of reference to Hashem. So this, he wasn't seeing Hashem, he was seeing some image. That image was supposed to indicate something about Hashem. And that image appeared like the human being. So we see very clearly, it's a pasuk in Tanakh, beyond the fact that we're B'Tselem Elokim, that when Yechezkel got some sort of vision of Hashem, the vision he got was in the shape of a human. Now again, you can't put Hashem in any terms of physicality, but at least understand the way Hashem interacts with our world, Hashem does it through some sort of format that would look like, you know, a human body. And again, it's just hard to talk about it this way, but we're just reading the pasukim. Now, the source of this idea, if you flip another page over here to the English section, this is a quote from the book World Mask. World Mask was written by Rabbi Akiva Tatz, who is an extremely deep thinker. It was probably written, I would guess, around 20 years ago or so, maybe even more. It's a little bit older book. And World Mask goes, it's a fascinating book, very well written, very clear, which really talks a lot about these concepts of Hashem and how he works with our world and how our world is merely a mask over a spiritual world. If you haven't read the book, you know, it's available out there. It's a very good book. But he's the one who really points out this idea. And I'm sure he's quoting from earlier sources. This is where I saw it originally when I read this book many years ago. Look at the second paragraph. How can Hashem have a real hand? Surely a real hand is finite, physical, a contradiction to the infinite oneness of the Creator. Surely the divine hand must be some sort of mashal, analogy. But the secret which answers our question is this. Hashem's hand is a real hand, and our human hand is a mashal. When the Torah talks of the divine hand, is referring to that which is real in the deepest sense. That which is infinite and no contradiction to the absolute oneness of the Creator. Every nuance of meaning in Torah is absolutely true. Hashem indeed has a hand. So the psukim that we quote aren't mashals, the other way around. Hashem really has a hand. But that hand transcends human understanding no less than any other divine attribute, which is expressed in Torah, and no less than what we refer to as Hashem himself. So Hashem has something called a hand. We can't understand his hand at all, but he has something called a hand. Of course, that means that we cannot begin to understand any of the divine attributes mentioned in the Torah, since they are all real and essential, and since they all live in the realm of oneness, which has no parts. They do not contradict the idea of the oneness of the Creator. And no human mind can begin to imagine the meaning of that which is described as specific or particular and yet does not contradict the fundamental element of Torah faith, which is exactly the idea of that oneness. So we can say that Hashem has a hand, but we cannot understand what that means. And that's exactly the point. The reason that we have been created with hands is so that we can begin to understand. And that's really the key line. So any part that we have in our body, Hashem made us in this form in order so that we can have some sort of glimmer of understanding of Hashem. We're never going to understand Hashem. But Hashem has something called a yad. And if we didn't have a yad, we'd have no hope to understand anything about Hashem. But Hashem granted us a yad, and therefore I can have some semblance of understanding what it means, a yad Hashem. We possess parts, components, differentiated aspects of our bodies so that we can begin to fathom the meaning of these things at their root. We are the mashal. Hashem wants us to begin to understand Him. Part of the purpose of learning Torah is to begin to understand what a human can understand of the divine, and therefore we are given tangible tools that we need. Now, I first read this, it must have been probably 17 years ago or something, and it just stuck with me because I thought it to be such a fascinating concept. But it's an amazing thing. It really flips around the entire way that we look at the human body and we understand the Torah. We usually look at those sections of the Torah and say, this is just, you know, a metaphor for us to understand. But it's the other way around. We're the metaphor. We're the mashal, and the Torah is telling us a fact about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So never ever picture Hashem's hand like ours, but understand what our hand can do and know that that is a tiny, tiny drop of what Yad Hashem is supposed to mean. That's this idea. So if that's the case, then the mashal is us. And our body is made to match the kevayachol, the way that Hashem functions, so that we can understand the Kodesh Baruch Hu in some way. So coming back to the idea of twins, we are, in a sense, twins with Hashem as human beings, because Hashem made our bodies to match His hanhagos so that we can actually understand it. So they're supposed to be an exact match in some way. And in that way, we can understand Kodesh Baruch Hu on a much deeper level. And it goes even further.
Can you give the name of the book again?
World Mask. It says it on the bottom over here. World Mask. It's a very fascinating book. I recommend it. So furthermore, we can say even further. You know, so we think, well, Hashem gave us ears. So Hashem said, okay, well, you have ears. So let's think of mitzvahs that have to do with ears. So, okay, well, you'll blow the shofar, and you'll listen to a shir, and you'll listen to davening and respond because you have ears, so we'll utilize those ears properly. You know, you have a mouth, so we'll put some matzah in your mouth, right? And some cholent. That's what we'll do. But it's the other way around. There's something called matzah. And Hashem said, I need to have a being in this world that can eat matzah. So therefore, I'll create a human being with a mouth because I want there to be an opportunity to have matzah. You know, there needs to be something called shofar. And you can't do shofar without hearing shofar. So I'll put ears on the human being so that they can do the mitzvah. The mitzvahs came first, and this world was created in order to match the mitzvahs. So our bodies are created, number one, to match the Kodesh Baruch Hu's hanhagos in this world. And number two, our bodies are created in order to match the Torah, match the mitzvahs. It was with that design. So we're built, it's not that the mitzvahs are based on us, we're based on the mitzvahs. The mitzvahs are the blueprint. The Torah is the blueprint, and the Torah precedes the world. And the world is created in order to fit the Torah and fit that blueprint. The famous quote in the Zohar, Stakal Beresa Vara Alma, Hashem looked in the Torah and created the world. So the Torah was His guide, and with that He made a world. So our bodies are made in precision to fit the mitzvos and to fit the Kodesh Baruch Hu's and Hagos.
Wasn't Adam created so somebody would pray for rain so the plants would grow?
Right, that's what Rashi says, right. It says that Terem, this is before all everything sprouted, because Adam Ayim Lodos Adam, Adam was created, right. So there was a concept of prayer. Hashem made the being to pray. Right, exactly. That proceeded. It wasn't that He was created and He needed water, He was created to pray in the first place. Correct, 100%. So this all ties together, though, because we're created to match Hashem and we're created to match the mitzvos. The question is, what are the mitzvos? The mitzvos are Hashem's wisdom and Hashem's desire in this world. Now, there's a famous quote which people know from the song. And it's very often sung in Simchas Torah. Yisrael ve'raisa kudsh brichu chadu. Yisrael ve'raisa kudsh brichu chadu. You've heard it in shul. And that means that Yisrael, Yisrael, the Torah, and Hashem are all one. We all are bound together. So on one level, it means that, you know, there's one God, there's one Torah, and one Klal Yisrael. On another level means that we kind of all connect. And on a third level means that we match, we're twins, and then we all match each other 100%. Hashem, the Torah, and Klal Yisrael, they 100% match. They're made for each other. We're made to resemble Hashem's functioning in this world, and we're made to fit the mitzvot. So that's what we're made for. And we're all one, we unite as one. So the person of Aselam Elokim, that person matches what the Torah is meant for, and matches HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So now I want to look at another quote here, just going from source to source. There's a concept which is quoted by the Baal HaTanya. I don't know if any Lubavitchers in the room, but the Baal HaTanya talks about a very fascinating idea in Tanya. This is a little snippet here. Tanya is an interesting sefer. It's not an easy sefer, but people in Chabad read through it like it's a storybook. They're so used to it. These ideas are so natural to them. But it's a very, very deep sefer. And he quotes here from the Zohar. I put a little arrow there, Perchlef Gimel, there's a little arrow where it starts in brackets. The Zohar says that the mitzvos are referred to as a Vare de Malka. It looks like this. It's actually called Likutei Amarim, is the official name of the book. The Tanya is actually the first word of the book, so everyone calls it Tanya, but the book's actually called Likutei Amarim, so it's confusing. But he says over here that, he quotes from the Zohar, that the mitzvos are referred to as a Vare de Malka, the limbs of the king, the limbs of Hashem. So the mitzvos are Hashem's limbs. And again, it all fits our idea. And he says, "Kamoshe vare gufa adam," just like the limbs of a person, "Heim levush lenafsho," they clothe our nefesh. So our physical, we know inside we have a neshama, and our physical body is kind of the clothing on the neshama, and the neshama is able to interact with the world through the body. So it says, just like we have a physical body, and they clothe the nefesh, "Ubatim legamri eleha," but the physical body is totally, I'm subjugated to the nefesh, mikol v'kol, which means what? Because as soon as I think to move my arm goes. You know, Baruch Hashem, in a healthy person, you don't have to think about moving your limbs. You don't move your finger just goes. So what's moving your finger? So we say the nefesh is the driving force in a person. And the body is kind of like the clothing. So as soon as my nefesh says, move, it just goes. So the way you view that is that, you know, the desire, the will of my nefesh just injects energy into my hand, and my hand just goes somewhere. That's the way you view it. Now, we usually just say, okay, the brain waves go and the hand moves. But deep down, it's your will. Your will wants your hand to go, but it doesn't take any effort, it just goes. You know, people who are sick sometimes can't do that, but some healthy human body, as soon as the ratzon to move is there, the body just moves where it needs to go. Raglo. Or your foot, Hinishmel Sarotsono, Tekef. They listen to your will immediately. Umiyad, Blishum Sivu. I don't need command. I don't have to command my arm to go. It just goes where it's supposed to. Vemirulham, and they don't need to be spoken to. Blishum Shihia Klau, and there's no delay. El Karegam Mamish, rather immediately, at the moment, Kesha'ola Birtsono, as soon as you desire it, it just goes. That's how the human body works. So we have inside ourselves our neshama. We have our nefesh, we have our life force, we have our mind, and we have our will. And the body just kind of goes with what it's supposed to do. That's what the body does. As soon as I think I want to do something, the body just does it for me. Kach derech mashal achiyu shomaisa mitzvos. So this is the mitzvos. Remember, we said before that mitzvos are considered the limbs of Hashem. So what does that mean? Mekiyumon batal agami legabi ratzon ha'elyon hamalubash bel v'nasal mamish keguf l'neshama. The ratzon of Hashem, Hashem's desire, when one does a mitzvah, is like the body to the neshama. Meaning, what is happening, and if you think about it, it's a fascinating thing. When we do a mitzvah, we're following Hashem's will. So if we're doing it right, and we're listening to Hashem right away, we're doing it with zrizus, with diligence, you know, we're not delaying, you know, we're not being lazy about it. So as soon as Hashem's will comes into the world, my body just goes and does it. You know? It's time for tekiyah shofar, I just listen. It's time to get stuck, I just give. It's time to daven, I just daven. So Hashem's will is just being injected into my limbs, and the limbs now are doing what Hashem wants out of me. That's what's happening when you do a mitzvah. It's the same way that when I move my arm, my mind just makes my arm move. So a mitzvah is that it's Hashem's mind, kevyachol, which has the will, and then the human body just goes ahead and it performs it. That's how it works. It would be like, you know, we're becoming a puppet to Hashem in some way. That at that moment, Hashem pulls a string and our arm just, you know, goes where it's supposed to go. That's what it would be like. And that's really the ideal. You know, the idea of being a puppet sounds funny, but the ideal human being is the one who's listening to Hashem at all times. So whenever Hashem wants, I'm doing. So therefore, it's Hashem's will just being, you know, infused, just being injected into my limbs and into my body. He continues, he says, V'chein alavush achitzon shel nefesh halukis sheba'adam makayim ve'osa mitzvah shukoach ubechinas ha'maisa shela mislabish bechiyus ha'maisa mitzvah. So when we go ahead and do a mitzvah, our body is enclosed in the energy of that mitzvah. V'nasa gamken keguf v'neshama. So it becomes just like the neshama controls the guf. So at that point, Hashem's will is in controlling our guf. The Ratzon Elyon, Hashem's elevated desire and will, that's what controls us. So our limbs, as we do a mitzvah, we become the platform for Hashem's will. It's like a hand giving out tzedakah, laniyim. So that hand now, it's Hashem's will, it's pumping through that hand as he gives out the tzedakah. So the more when we struggle with the mitzvah, so then we're not letting Hashem's will enter into our limb. When we become very, 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 very skilled and very, very devoted doing mitzvahs, so then Hashem's will just kind of goes right into it, and I do it. The money comes by, just whoosh, there goes the money, right into his hand. If you're a glaim mahalchos and dvar mitzvah, and your feet going to a mitzvah, v'chein ha'peh, and the mouth, and the lashon, and the tongue, sh'medaber, and divrei Torah, speak divrei Torah, or davening, v'yamoach, sh'marav divrei Torah, the brain thinking about Torah, and here shemayim, yiglus Hashem, all these things are Hashem's will being injected into our limbs. And this is what Chazal tell us, ha'avos hein ha'merkava, that the avos are the merkava, they're the platform, they're the chariot, as it were, the platform for Hashem. Because the avos were on such a level that their limbs were totally controlled not by this world, by Hashem's will. And in their entire lives, they were merely platforms for Hashem's will. Now Hashem was like the puppeteer pulling the string. The avos would just go, ooh, that's what they would do. That was through their free choice. It wasn't they were forced into it. But they're on such a level that as soon as they're Ratzon Hashem, their body just went to it. That's how it worked. So they put this all together. We're saying that the mitzvahs are also like limbs. Because when a mitzvah is done, what's happening is that Hashem's will is injected right into those limbs. So if they're doing mitzvahs and through learning about Torah, our limbs become infused with Ratzon Hashem as if they're his limbs. It's like, when we think our arm just goes, and when Hashem's desire is there and we're being good Jews, our arm also just goes. So we've become at that point Hashem's limbs when we do a mitzvah. So this concept, Selma Elokim, we're in the image of God, the concept of mitzvos and Hashem's will, they're all bound together. Now my hand gives tzedakah and it's infused with Hashem's will. It's not like the limb, it's not attached to Hashem, but the will of Hashem just makes it go. And that's how we view it. The mouth davening, it's like it's Hashem's mouth davening. That's how we view it. And every time we do a mitzvah, we're letting that just pump through us. And that's an amazing thing. So when we go back and think about the concept of tu'umim, of twins in Sivan, I think we have a very deep understanding of it, and it really ties a lot together. The idea, we're Hashem's twin, kevi'achol, and our body is made to resemble that. Our body is made for mitzvos. And the truth is, when we do a mitzvah, it's a very powerful thought. When you do a mitzvah, you're actually letting Hashem's will just pump through your body. And to me, this is such a powerful way to look at a mitzvah. We should think a mitzvah is, okay, I do the action, and it's a good thing to do, and I get schar, and Hashem's happy with me. But it goes much further than that. Because when you do a mitzvah, you're letting Hashem's actual ratzon enter into you, and that energy, that force, that goes right into that body part they're using for the mitzvah, and that becomes elevated and it becomes attached to Hashem at the moment. And that's Hashem's limb, kevi'achol. That's what the Zohar says. That's what the Tanya is describing. That becomes Hashem's limb. So my arm giving tzedakah is no longer mine. It's Hashem's limb upon me. And then it's a very powerful thought. So the month of Matan Torah, which is Sivan, that's where this really comes out. Because the human being, the way that we're able to reach this level of acting as Hashem's twin is only through Torah. Without Torah, every human being is created in Hashem's image. But without Torah, we're never going to understand, well, what do I do? What is his hand for? And what's his head for? What's my nose for? And Torah allows us to have the insight into understanding HaKadosh Baruch Hu through understanding ourselves. It also allows us to understand the mitzvos in a way which they connect us to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is one very deep idea and a very powerful idea of Chodesh Sivan. There's one other element to this, which is in the Medrash, somewhere in this packet, the back page over here. This is the Medrash Rabbah in Shir HaShirim. And there's a pasuk. The pasuk says, this is in Perek Hay of Shir HaShirim. And the pasuk says, let's read the pasuk over here. I'm not sure what it is in here, but the pasuk, we'll paraphrase it. The pasuk says that it's pischi li, it's become famous songs, and many famous tunes to this. Pischi li, achusi, rayasi, samasi. It's in the Shir HaShirim is a mashal between a man and a woman, and in the mashal, it's the man going over to the woman, knocking at her door and saying, "Open up for me, my sister, my beloved, my tamasi is my perfect one, yonasi, my dove." And it's this beautiful love song. But the word tamasi, so literally the word tamasi means my perfect one, like the word tam, to be complete or perfect. But the Medrash here actually takes the word tamasi and it makes a drasha and says, don't read a tamasi, read a teumasi, my twin. Let me just find it over here. It's towards the bottom of the Medrash. I didn't mark it off, I'm sorry. It's like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 lines up from the bottom or so. And it begins with Rav Yanai in the middle of the line. Rav Yanai Amar Teumasi. So don't read the word Tamasi, my perfect one. Read as Teumasi, my twin. And then it says, Keviyachol, Lo Ani Gadol Mimena, I am not greater than her, Vohi Gadol Mimeni, and she is not greater than me. So that's one phrase that we're saying that Hashem, Keviyachol, is no greater than us, and we're no greater than him. And that's a pretty interesting statement. We'll have to understand that. Then it continues and it says, Rabbi Yeshua de Sichnin, B'Shem Rav Levi, Teumasi. So Rabbi Yeshua of Sichnin, that was his city, he said in the name of Rabbi Levi, also the word Tamasi can read as Teumasi, my twin. And then he says a very beautiful thing. Ma Teumim Halalu, just like twins, Im Choshish Echad Mehem Berosho, if one twin feels a headache, Chaver Margish, his twin will feel it as well. And I don't know scientifically how much that is proven, but there certainly are reports out there to this very day that twins kind of feel each other's pain, you know, in different ways. So I know that's out there. So just like one twin, when they're feeling pain, the other twin feels it. Kach keviyachol, Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So too Hashem says, Ima anochi betzara, I'm with you in your distress. When we feel pain, Hashem feels our pain. And that's a function of this concept of Teumasi, that we're considered Hashem's twin. So once we look at ourselves as Tselem Elokim, and we see these connections. So we're talking about a very, very intimate connection, us and Hashem. You know, Hashem made us to fit Him, to understand Him, to bond with Him. Hashem's will could pump into our limbs. And therefore, when we feel pain, we have this concept of Hashem is with us, Hashem is able to sympathize and feel as well. The Mishnah tells us that when the Beis Din had to execute somebody, we know that we have four different types of executions in a Beis Din for various affairs. It's rarely done. But the Mishnah tells us, when the Beis Din had to kill somebody, the Hashem himself says the words, Kalani Miroshi, Kalani Mizroi, which is understood to mean that Hashem says, I'm heavy in my head, I'm heavy in my arm. And Hashem feels the pain of this poor Jew who has to be killed by the Beis Din. Now Hashem is not happy about it, Hashem feels the pain of that person. We know there's concepts of, it says, we mentioned before, it says when we were in Mitzrayim, and after the left Mitzrayim there was a vision of Hashem, and the Torah describes Tachas Raglav Kemaisa Livnasa Sapir. Under Hashem's feet, there was a sapphire brickwork. And Rashi there explains, like, why is there a description of Hashem sitting on top of sapphire brickwork? And Rashi says, because when we were Mitzrayim, Hashem put bricks in front of Himself, Keviyachol, to feel our pain. So we were lurking in bricks in Mitzrayim, and Hashem was Nusimul Chaver, He sympathized with us. So Hashem made sure that next to His throne there was bricks, so that He always look at those bricks and feel sad about Klal Yisrael. Obviously it's a mashal, but it shows that Hashem feels the pain of Klal Yisrael. That's what it shows. So when somebody is acting in this way, as a human being is supposed to act, and living with Tzelem Elokim, and living with mitzvos, and this intimate connection is made between us and Hashem. So being twins doesn't just mean that we resemble Hashem, but it means just like twins feel each other's pain, Hashem feels our pain in a very, very clear way. Which means, of course, Hashem knows our pain, but it means it evokes mercy of Hashem, the compassion of Hashem, and Hashem's love and care for us is much, much stronger when He feels the pain that we're going through. So that's this concept of imo nochi v'tzara, that I feel your pain, like a twin feels the other twin's pain. Now, the first quote the Medrash said was that Ta'umasi means that I am his twin, means keviyachol, I'm not greater than I'm greater than Klai Yisrael, and Klai Yisrael is not greater than me. That's also a very strange statement. Of course, Hashem is greater than us. We can't even think about such a thing. What does it mean that neither of us is greater than the other? So it's coming off the word Tamasi, we're twins. So both twins, you know, they're pretty much equal. They look similar, they have similar interests usually, it's identical twins. But what's this idea that Hashem is no greater than us, we're no greater than Hashem? Like, it's a very strange statement. So we know that this concept is brought up several times, you know, just a few examples. The Gemara tells us that Hashem performs mitzvos. Whatever that means, Hashem does mitzvos too. And the Gemara tells us in Brachos that Hashem also wears tefillin. So the Gemara asks, what does it say in Hashem's tefillin? I mean, in our tefillin it says, Shema Yisrael, it talks about Seis Mitzrayim, it talks about Hashem saving the Bechoros of Klal Yisrael, the firstborns. What does it say in Hashem's tefillin? So the Gemara says that Hashem's tefillin has things of this sort. You know, Mika Amcha Yisrael, Goycha Baretz, who is like Klal Yisrael? And all these praises of Klal Yisrael. So our tefillin has the praises of Hashem, and Hashem's tefillin, Keviyachol, has the praises of Klal Yisrael. That's one example where you see this relationship. The Gemara tells us also, Atem asisinu chativa achas, well, Hashem says, you have made me chativa achas. Now, you're object of desire in this world, so I have also made you into my object of desire. I mean, there's this relationship where we desire Hashem, Hashem desires us. You know, we praise Hashem, Hashem praises us. And what's this idea? The idea is that in our world, Hashem certainly is greater than us, far beyond us, you know, there's no comparison. But in our world, how do we recognize Hashem's greatness? How's Hashem known? Who made Hashem famous? Who brought Hashem as revelation to this world? And the answer is Klal Yisrael. Avraham Avinu, the Avos, and Klal Yisrael. That's who does it. So Hashem isn't greater than us on the level that Hashem is only recognized as great as Klal Yisrael makes him. And we're no greater than Hashem, that we are only as great as Hashem allows us to be. So both of us are dependent upon one another. This idea that we're twins is that, you know, there's a similarity in that the level that we're on is how much Hashem is known in our world. So in essence, Hashem is infinite and far beyond us, and we're, you know, limited, you know, human beings. But on the level of Hashem's recognition in our world, well, we only know Hashem to the extent that Klal Yisrael brings out Hashem in this world. We have a very important job. We're supposed to bring Hashem out into the world. We're supposed to be the nation that represents Hashem. And if we do that, then Hashem becomes great, we become great. If we fail in our mission, then Hashem is not known, and we're not known. It's we say, Baruch Elokim Hashem Baruch Chavodo. Hashem created us for His honor. What does that mean? To be created for Hashem's honor means that we are, the concept of honor, and Rav Lipiansky once explained, the concept of honor, kavod, is that, you know, let's say somebody walks in the room, a big, you know, burly, strong guy, you know, so we don't need any honor for him. He demands attention regardless. The physical strength, something that's just noticed physically doesn't require any special honor to be given to it, because you walk in, you see it. You see this guy as somebody to reckon with, because you see his size, you see his you know, how vicious he might be. But let's say there's somebody who has some sort of virtue, but it's not physical. So this little old man walks in the room. You know, he looks kind of old, sick, tired. And we say, okay, he's a nice little man, and we'll help him out. And then you see that everybody in the entire community is running to greet this person and standing up for him and singing in his presence. You say, this is an Abgadol. This must be a Gadol Hador. And so what changed? It was the kavod given to him showed us there's something here to honor beyond the physical. If it was physical, we'd all see it in front of our eyes. We don't need to give special honor because we see it. But when somebody has something within which is of value, which is not physical, so kavod is what you give to indicate that. So Hashem is not physical and Hashem is not apparent in our world, but the Klal Yisrael is made for Hashem's kavod, which means that if we act appropriately, people will recognize the honor of Hashem, recognize Hashem's greatness in our world. That's what it means. This mission began in Har Sinai. In Har Sinai, Hashem said, okay, I'm giving you the job to be my nation. Until that point, there was individuals. Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, there was the Imahos, there was, you know, Moshe Rabbeinu until that point. But at Har Sinai, Hashem said, you are now my nation. It's going to be your job to bring me out to the world and to show the world my honor. And then the world's going to recognize me through Klal Yisrael. And this is the mission of Klal Yisrael, to live out this cause, that we're supposed to live our lives in a way which brings out HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You know, we act in ways that Hashem wants us to act, and then people will see the resemblance, as it were. You know, when we act with Kedusha, with Tahara, if we're devoted to Torah, if we're honest, if we're moral, then people will see the godliness of Klal Yisrael, and they'll see God. If we don't act in that way, then people don't see God, unfortunately. And then we've seen it go both ways historically. Sometimes we're doing the right things, and people really respect Klal Yisrael, and they recognize God through Klal Yisrael. And sometimes we're acting the right ways, and then people don't see God through Klal Yisrael, and that's also when we end up down the dumps as well, because the relationship is together. So this is this idea of the Medrash saying over here that Hashem's no greater than us, we're no greater than Hashem. Meaning Hashem is only as great in our world as we make him. And we're only as great in this world as Hashem allows us to be, based on our mitzvos and our Torah and the way that we act in our lives. So Sivan is the time where all these things come out. Now, Sivan is the month of Matan Torah, and even though Shavuos was already a few weeks ago, it still is the month of Matan Torah. But that didn't change. So the Sivan is really, it's the glue. It's the glue that creates that bond with us and Hashem. It's the glue that makes us Hashem's twin. The energy that we have is all from Matan Torah. And eventually a person who lives life appropriately, he or she can totally resemble a Kodesh Baruch Hu in this sense. Obviously, you know, we're physical, we're not infinite like Hashem, but it can be apparent on a person, this person has Hashem's will pumping through his or her actions. And this person, the way that they act, we can see that, well, we learn from that person's eyes what Hashem's eyes are all about. And the person themselves can feel that. And that's something that we really gain in the month of Sivan. You find a bunch of examples, especially in the Avos, but throughout the Torah, that the human being can really be a window into HaKadosh Baruch Hu. One point, Avraham Avinu, he's our first example. And the Gemara actually brings out a very interesting point. We know when you make a bracha, there's two parts to a bracha. Most three parts. There's something called the Shem, there's Malchus, and there's like the topic of the bracha. So I make a shakel my water. So I say Hashem Elokeinu. I say Hashem's name. I say Melech Olam. Hashem is the King of the world. And then I speak about what the topic is. I'm drinking my water. I say Shehakol. So the Gemara calls that the Shemu Malchus. There's the idea of mentioning Hashem's name, and the idea of recognizing Hashem's Malchus, Hashem's kingship in this world. So if you notice in Shemona Esrei, it doesn't say the word Melech anywhere, right? And most brachos will say Elokeinu Melech Olam. When you say Shemona Esrei, you say Baruch Atah Hashem, Elokeinu, Lokeav Oseinu. It doesn't say Melech anywhere. And commentaries are bothered, but if a bracha requires the word Melech, then where do you find it in Shemona Esrei? It's just not there. How is that a valid bracha? Shemona Esrei seems to be an invalid bracha. That doesn't fit the format of brachos. So one answer given, Tosfos says, that when you say the words Elokeav Avraham, that itself is equivalent to saying Hashem's Malchus. Because when you think about Avraham Avinu, you see Hashem as the king over the world. That's what it says. Because Avraham lived such a life that when you saw Avraham, you saw Malchus of Hashem. That's what you saw in Avraham Avinu. Because that Tzelem Elokim in Avraham was clear. And we saw Avraham, we say, this to me is the image of understanding there's a God in the world. And that's what it says. We find when Yaakov leaves from Lavan's house, and he's on his way back to Eretz Yisrael, he approaches, he's in this city, they refer to as Machanayim. Machanayim. Machanayim means, you know, two camps, a double camp. And it says that when he went, let's read that, I know where this one is. It says, Yaakov halach ledarko, Yaakov went on his way, v'yifku bo malachei Elokim. And he bumped into angels of God. He's bumped into them, I guess. Vayomer Yaakov kasher ra'am. When Yaakov saw these angels, he said, Machane Elokim Zed. This is the camp of God. Vayikra Hashem Makamu Machanayim. So he referred to this place as Machanayim, the double camp. So I forgot who says this, but I remember seeing a pshat once. That the idea of Machanayim is that Yaakov's family and the camp of the Malachim, they matched. right? There is called Machanayim because there was angels there, and there was Yaakov and his family there, and they resemble one another. I mean, Yaakov's family, which was really the source, their origin of Klal Yisrael, they're such a high level that you would confuse them with Malachim, and that you would see them and you would say these people match the same way the angels have their camp. So it's a level where you look at human beings and all you're seeing there is Hashem's twins. You're seeing the godliness of it. And there's also a Medrash, and I think on the same point, that says that Malachim themselves, they came down and they saw Yaakov, and they couldn't figure it out because he resembled so much of Shemayim. And they were so confused because there's a human being over here, and they went up and they had a vision of Hashem, and they came down and saw Yaakov, and they saw the resemblance. They couldn't figure it out. They're like, how is it that this image is down here? Because they saw that Yaakov resembled a Kodesh Baruch Hu. And furthermore, I think you can say that, you know, the word Yisrael itself, the word Yisrael, and you could break down that word in any ways, but one way to break it down would be Yud Shin Resh, we take the sin and make it a shin, Yishar, and Kel. The word Yishar, sure, is also a term of looking, seeing. Sure means to look at something. So Yishar Kel, which is the same letters as Yisrael, would mean look and you'll see God. When you look at Klal Yisrael, you're supposed to be able to see God. There's actually another medrash which says Vikra lo Kel ke Yisrael. It says that he called him, speaking of Yaakov, he called him Kel ke Yisrael, the God of Israel. So the simple meaning of that pasuk is that Yaakov called Hashem El Kei Yisrael, but the Medrash actually says no, Hashem referred to Yaakov as El Kei Yisrael, which would mean also that Yaakov had such a resemblance to something of the spiritual realm. He was referred to in such a surprising manner. So this is a very deep concept, obviously, a very, very big concept, deep concept of Te'umim, of twins. But you know, even though it's like seems to be like very far and beyond us, in our level, it gives us something to really think about. That the more we understand ourselves, the more we understand Hashem. The more we understand the human body and how it works and what it can do, we understand Hashem. We understand that mitzvos are made to match our bodies, because mitzvos themselves are the limbs that are considered like limbs of Hashem, because as you do a mitzvah, you're doing Hashem as well. And the more we can understand these concepts, the better understanding we'll have of HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself, because that's the mashal that we are. We're made to be the mashal of Hashem. Selam Elokim means we're made to be that image, and if we understand that image, we understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. So this is a concept which Sivan brings out, because Sivan is this point where Hashem came down and communicated his message and mission to Klal Yisrael. And this is where the only way, you know, every human being has this image, but it's a useless model if you don't understand the point of the model. If you have two different things which match, but you don't understand, like, why are they matching and what are they matching about, then they don't do any good. But when you have this model, you have the Torah to understand the model, you use that model in order to understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself, and that's where you can actually maximize the meaning of Selam Elokim in the human being. So Sivan and Iyar, they've trained us, really, all these classes we've had have led up to understanding what's a human being. A human being is not an animal. A human being is greater than an angel in many ways. A human being is one of the hallmarks of a human being is the concept of midos and derech eretz. We discussed that a while back as well. And ultimately, the human being is Selam Elokim, which means that, you know, we are on a level where through us, and only through us, can Hashem be seen. Hashem cannot be seen through animals in the same way. Even angels don't represent Hashem in that way. They're not Selam Elokim angels. Only we're Selam Elokim. And it's through us, through the human being, that we're able to truly perceive the Kodesh Baruch Hu.